Welcome to the Awakened Intent podcast. My name is Chris Bale, and today I'm very happy to be joined by Anaya, and hopefully I'm pronouncing the name correctly. So Anaya has decided or has received the invitation to come on and to go into some topics, which was kind of triggered or supported by a recent post that had been shared on my Instagram account, a piece of content that went out. So, yeah, I'd love to just hear you introduce yourself a little bit and maybe share whatever feels resonant for you in this moment about kind of who you are and even what's the intention today. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to be here. And you got my name right. It's Anaya. And I would say I am deeply dedicated to delving into the subtleties of human connections. And I specialize in developmental trauma, attachment trauma, and nervous system regulation. I'm a somatic guide, and I have a huge emphasis on conscious relationships and intimacy and how to relate in good ways with each other. Yeah, that's what I'll say for now. And yeah, the invitation to come on the podcast was sparked from a post that I had some subtle disagreements with. And I messaged you about it, and we happened to just have a conversation, and you appreciated my fire, and then you invited me on the podcast. So now we are here.
Now we are here. Mm-hmm. Is that fire present right now?
I would say it's not as alive in this moment, but I imagine as we begin to delve into some of these topics that it may come up.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So is there somewhere particular that you're feeling called to get the wave rolling?
Yeah, so something I have been exploring in my own life in relation to men and people I've been dating in the last couple of years is erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big part of one of your posts and in our private messages, what we were discussing. And I would love to dive into this topic and just pick your mind and hear and see where we flow and where this goes.
Yes, let's do it. Let's okay, do it.
So yeah, I would say first, I want to know, why do you think so many men, especially younger men, like in their 20s and 30s, struggle with erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation?
Firstly, it's such a massive topic that I feel has so many different corners to it, options, possibilities as to why the man is experiencing issues with this aspect of his body or even this aspect of his life. And the first thing that, or I guess the reason that I feel it's more common, at least working with men, more common than I've ever heard it, literally in the past 2 or 3 years, it feels like this issue has really surged, and especially with younger men. I feel it's very related to the siphoning of the man's attention and his presence out of his body, out of his flesh, out of his regulated nervous system, where he's feeling himself and able to sleep at night, where he's not feeling so bothered and agitated and irritated and overwhelmed and confused and lacking focus. There's so much attention that he's placed into his distraction now. So all the technological devices, the screens, social media, the addictive patterns and the addictive tendencies are doing two things. The first is that it's leaking him rapidly. And for that man to be able to be there and be hard and firm and upright in himself, that requires his male electricity. So the second aspect of that within the leaking, also we have the man being pulled out of his body at the same time. They kind of both support the other from happening. And I think that's the biggest piece of it. The other piece of it is in many corners of society, of culture, of communication, we have overcorrected in an attempt to stand up for one side, to support one side. And I feel it's just a thing we do socially and culturally. We overcorrect everything until we can try to find some semblance of a balance again. And what a lot of the men that I speak with are struggling with is he doesn't really know what to do with or where to put his male energy. Because right now in the world, he's been told that he's the problem. He's also been told to do his work from the place of the fact that he's the problem. So then if he does listen to that and starts to do his work from that foundation, whatever work he's going to do is coming from a place of self-hatred of his own essence and the essence of just masculinity in general. So, as I said, I feel there's a lot of different corners to this, but these tend to be the most fundamental pieces that I experience. And then propping up right beside that is the fact that most women have been stripped out of their stabilized nervous system, right? As you know, working with trauma, you probably see this somatically all the time. And then the woman is feeling so unsafe to be in her own system that she has to lock herself in her head. And she has to then move around in a way where she's numb and shut down and not being able to fully feel the flow inside of herself. So when that woman comes to the man, there's nothing that that woman is bringing that's going to stimulate his firmness in rising up to penetrate. So I think this was probably the part of the post where the experience you were having or the disagreement that came up for you, at least from what you expressed. But I do feel that that is also a massive part of it. It's so hard these days. It's a very challenging experience just to regularly meet women who are allowing themselves to be in their womanhood in a healthy and integrated way. But that's what the man's being is set up to respond to, and vice versa. So we could approach this from either side ultimately. But just as a blanket start, that's kind of been my experience.
Yeah. And to clarify, the piece in the post, if I'm recalling correctly, was about how women may not be safe, and that could be why the man is not able to get hard, which I agree with. And from my own personal experience, and then in the piece that you just shared, like the woman also has to be like in her flowing pleasure and her life force and bringing that to a man. And then, you know, there's a co-creation that happens there. And when that's not online, then it doesn't stimulate him to turn on. And so in my own personal experience, like as a woman who has deeply dove into my sexual traumas, my own struggles with, you know, kind of the opposite of a man not being able to get hard is, you know, experiencing pain in my yoni and going on a really deep journey around this for, you know, like 8 years at this point. And yet I'm still coming up against many men, almost every single man I have dated in the last 2 years that struggles with this. And so there is a little bit of that charge from your post, like, oh no, like it's not always just the woman not being safe or not being in her pleasure. Like there's other so many nuances and intricacies from it. And I'm not negating that those things are not real. I definitely think it's true. And I think there's so much more nuance. So yeah. And I totally agree with you in relation to the disconnect from the body, from the screen time, from phone addiction, porn, you know, all of these things I think play such a massive role. And yeah, I know, like, the cock is a compass, right? Like, it's so wise, has so much wisdom. And I think that's a piece that, you know, maybe men aren't as connected to really tapping into what is the cock communicating when it's not able to get fully hard, when it does have premature ejaculation. And, you know, just to share a little bit about my experience with, you know, really intense pain in my yoni, where I also was like, wow, I'm broken. Like, no one's going to want to be with me. I can't even be in my pleasure. I deeply went on a journey of wanting to understand what was happening, of healing. I did 4 years of celibacy, of conscious celibacy, of deep attachment, trauma work, somatic work, nervous system work. And ultimately it led me to a place of every day and night, I would just like cup my yoni and deeply listen and just ask her, like, what do you need? Like, what's going on? And I brought so much awareness and so much attention to it. And like, my dream space was giving me information. She was giving me information. And it was like, don't even enter me. And so I just held her for, like, I think it was like 2 weeks. And I just was with her and listened and listened and listened, even on days where nothing was happening. And eventually she like guided me to be like, okay, like the body intelligence kind of like guided me to begin to play with her more. And like, she pulled my fingers into her in a way where there was no penetration. She was just like sucking them in. And it was the first moment in my life that I was like, wow, I have been overriding my own yes and no my whole life, implicitly had no idea that I was like, she wasn't ready. And I took initiative and went on that deep journey. And what I see and feel so frustrated by, and is that I feel men are choosing or unconsciously choosing to avoid. Like, they're just not even going into like getting the support, getting the help, or choosing to be with these things. And that's, I'd love to understand, like, from your perspective, working with so many men, like, what is that avoidance, you know? And that's, I think, the phone, the screen time, the addiction, the like losing the life force and like sucking, like it's being drained out in other ways. I'd love to hear, like, why do you think men are like choosing not to look at or deeply work with, and not all, I'm not saying all, but the ones in my life have been. And so, yeah, I would love to just hear what you have to share about that.
Sure. Thank you for speaking and sharing all of that. So for most men, it's not a priority. He doesn't care. It's just not interesting to him. He wants to break stuff, and then he wants to learn how to put it back together better than it was when he broke it. That's why we have roads and buildings and cars and airplanes, and everything we use in life just to function and exist is hugely due to the fact that men have been far less interested in certain corners of his own being. And now, in the time that we're in, just based on the the energy that's happening on the planet, that is starting to change. So now there's far more prioritization that's starting to come in for both men and women. But obviously, men are still not going to always prioritize it as much as women, just based on how he's set up. And I feel when women start to ask for these things, it only shows me that she doesn't understand who it is that she's attempting to engage with so well. That's like just the most honest reflection in that regard. Because For the man, it's got to be a why? Why would I do this? The men that I work with, the men that actually want to be in his body and start to understand his cock and understand his sexuality and his trauma and everything else present, is because generally he's feeling such a deep lack of meaning and intimacy in his life. He's aching inside. And he's tried to continue to do what he's seen in history. He's tried to follow the way he has seen other men and men that have went before him in living his life. And he just gets to a point of feeling so disconnected from any level of meaning or intimacy that only then does he start to look inside. And I feel it's really important that we understand that the primary motivations, not in every case, but I would say in most cases for men and women, are different. And when we can understand the other, it allows us to be able to equally show up, firstly, in service to ourselves in that partnership and that relational dynamic, so we can be well. But also it helps us understand the creature that we're engaging with and what really motivates them and what they really prioritize. So that's just a whole other aspect of it, and that I don't really hear being spoken to so much, especially in the whole spirituality or embodiment industry.
Yeah, can you elaborate on it? Because what I heard you say is like men are not wired to like want to like to care in those ways or to want to work on it. Like they're more focused on building cars, buildings, like things that they can fix and make better.
Yes. So generally men are going to be more focused towards seeing a reflection of power. Men are interested in power, and it's through power that he gets to his love. If it's integrated in a healthy way, if his power is a conscious one, if his power and his moving towards that is for the benefit, service, and protection of men, women, children, and just consciousness and society in general. Whereas women generally tend to be the opposite. Again, not in every case, but generally speaking, she's way more love-orientated. Yeah, and it's through that love that she gets to her power, where for the man, it's through his power that he gets to his love. And that's when things can start to get a little prickly. When we're going through that transitional phase of our development. But it's also very important that the man is not removed from himself. Because there is deep value for how the man functions and for the things he carries out and for the tasks that he's able to show up for in a way that other people may not be able to. It's important that that is not shamed out of him or guilted out of him or spoiled out of him, but instead it's celebrated, seen, and loved and appreciated, which in itself will start to guide him back to heart. It'll start to guide him into the deeper aspects of himself, because when that man is touched with love in ways he's probably never felt it in his entire life, and he's being touched by love and compassion by this woman, this is when all his mother trauma starts to open up. And that, you know, they talk about having something get soft quickly. That'll do it. That'll do it quick. And I really feel for women in certain scenarios, because she can get very confused as to, we were going so deep and I'm opening more than I've ever opened with this man. And all of a sudden, as I've been opening and just loving him and adoring, now he's starting to disconnect and pull away. And it's like, I don't even recognize.
So common.
Yeah. And that is avoidance. That piece is avoidance for sure.
Yeah. One of my connections, like former lovers, we had been dating for about a month and everything was fine. Our chemistry, sexual chemistry, was beautiful. And then as soon as we had a conversation around what kind of container we wanted, and he brought it forward into being. Like he asked for us to have the conversation. And I expressed that I wanted a closed sexual container. As soon as that happened, and I gave him time to like think about it. He took a few days. He came back. He said, yes, he was down for that. There was an immediate switch off, like no longer could get hard. The tone of our sexual connection felt so different. It was like night and day. And so obviously, you know, that's like psychological, emotional, you know, the avoidance, like whatever the it was for him.
It's what he projected. It's what he projected onto it. And imprisonment is never sexy.
Yeah.
So he imprisoned himself based on the projection that he gave to that container and that setup. And
And so what do you feel like men can do to connect deeper to their heart, to their cock, to their sex? Especially, you know, as always, this isn't all men, and but as like mostly it seems men tend to have more avoidant patternings. And I use that really lightly. Like I have avoidant patternings too. So when I'm saying it, I have so much compassion. I'm not like shaming in any way. But I know some people can't even stand hearing the word avoidant or having to look at some of those strategies that they have.
That's pretty avoidant.
I know. I know. But yeah, what can men do to come into more connection with their heart, with their cock, with their sex, and able to lean in and lean in?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to want to first. And the want is generally going to have to come from pain. The pain of him stepping back, looking around at his life, seeing the way he's functioning and everything around him is functioning, and then experiencing the deficiency and the reality of what that situation is doing to his life force, to his body, to his health, to his happiness, to his love, to his ability to connect, to his virility. That has to happen first. We cannot coax a man into all the reasons why he should do it if he's not in the pain of it, of not doing those things. So that's the first piece, is we can never convince the man. We can never even point at the thing for him. There has to be a why. There has to be the want. There has to be the reason for why he would leave what he's currently doing and the way he's currently behaving in his life to move into this way more personally accountable and responsible space, which is going to require so much attention from him, which is going to require him to feel the scariest things that he's ever had to feel inside of his own body, and to stay present with those things as it opens up in him. All of his shame, all of his guilt, all of his insecurities. That's what we're calling men into. None of that is sexy. For us, at least. Maybe it's sexy
but
to
it's
the woman.
So sexy. It's like the sexiest thing ever.
Right. But for him, it is going off the edge of life as he knows it. So that's the first piece as to the how. But when he decides he wants to shift, well, then I always support men kind of from two places. The first is with that seeing, that questioning, that contemplating, very practically inquiring into himself and starting to schedule or set up time in his day where he has the opportunity to start feeling himself and exploring himself and being with himself. If he's moving fast, he's going to find it very challenging to do any of that. So the first piece is he's going to have to slow down to be able to feel himself, to be able to recognize his own reflection, to be able to recognize what is him versus what is all of the conditioning that he has received, his mother's voice, his father's voice, his friend's voice, his culture's voice. That's the first side of it. And then the supporting side of that is to understand that first he is this body. It doesn't mean that he's always this body. But first, he's this body, because the body is going to be the most honest map. It's going to be the most honest reflector, the most honest mirror as to how he is living right now and how that is impacting him on an energetic level, a virility level, and a cellular level. So my work with men or with people in general is come back into the body, be in your body, feel your body. Are you even breathing properly as you move through your life, or are you breathing just enough to barely be upright and survive? So, and any practices that support that, for me, Qigong is a huge part of what I teach and what I guide people through. And that's just the avenue that I go through with men. With women, it's the energetic work to really have her feel and remember parts of herself that are not being activated because of the lack of male electricity on the planet. So both sides maybe need something a little bit different in that process. But the man, it's going to be creating discipline and prioritizing his nature, his way, and what he is here for. Because if all he's doing is scrolling through Instagram and on the internet and playing with his phone and getting caught up in everyone else's opinions, then he's never going to feel sense of what he is here for. So these are kind of the combining parts of it. It's the seeing, it's the consciousness piece, and then it's the feeling piece, and really starting to connect to his cock in a way where he's actually respecting it versus flailing it around like a fish out of water. Mm-hmm. So he can scratch his own itch, which ultimately just makes him deficient over time.
Yeah, I think it's so crazy how the phone and the addiction and the scrolling, it's such, I mean, for all humans, not just men. Like, I've recently been doing a phone screen detox the last 2.5 weeks, and I bought a lockbox. You like put your phone in it and you set a timer and then you can't touch your phone. And I was like, wow, this is where we're at. Like, we need these devices to get us off our phones. And it's been so great. And as soon as I put my phone in there one day, I was like, I'm avoiding stuff. I put my phone in there. I immediately touched into tears. And so it's not just men, but I know like the phones is such a huge addiction. And after a week of, you know, being off, I deleted Instagram, Facebook from my phone, having this lockbox and taking really stepped boundaries to not be on it as much. I felt so much life force streaming through my body in a way that I had not felt in so long.
Yes.
I felt God. I was like, oh my gosh, like these things are so draining. Mm-hmm. Like, they are just like sucking
the life
force out of us. So it's not just men. I feel like as humans, that's like true. And then with the part around like building capacity, like I love that you're supporting men to be able to come back into their body, to connect to their feelings and their emotions. And from a somatic lens, that's so much of what somatic work is going slow, like going so slow to build capacity, to titrate into, like take a little dip of toe, like just into some of the pain that's there, because there's so much. And in my own life, that's been such a journey to build nervous system capacity to be able to touch these deep places of pain. And yeah, I'm like holding the piece around, you know, you said women, like they tend to just be more dedicated. It's like more like that's like part of their makeup, is like they want to go into it.
Well, I can clarify that also, because what I'm saying does not mean that women are embodied. That's the catch, and it is women, as I said, love-based creatures, love to talk about love, love to think about love, but most women don't feel love anymore. because she's out of her body, because she's been stripped out, because she's distracted, because she is being tormented and told that her feminine expression is all of this chaos, when in fact it's just trauma. And it's not that she's full of feminine energy, it's that she's deeply deficient of life force, and it's an empty heat that's coursing through her, but she's identifying that as her femininity. So I feel there's just a lot of confusion in this space in general around this. So, you know, men are more power driven. It doesn't mean he's powerful. It just means he's thinking about it and focused about it. But it's the same with women. When I work with women, most of them are completely shut out of their hearts. But they've been doing heart-based practices, and they've been teaching self-love. And you know, like, this is just the reality that we're in right now. And no one is wrong for it. No one is bad for it. I'm not saying what I'm saying to put anyone down, but rather call people to sanity of, hey, it's less complicated than we're making it. But that means we need to feel more and more nuances. And that's the part that people don't really, they don't really see the payoff in it. They're not so sure if they really want to go there, because of the pain and because of the trauma and because of the discomfort. And I get that, because it's really fucking challenging.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
This leads me into the question then of, how do you think women play a part in this? Like, how do women enable, you know, men that struggle with erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation? And I can share a little bit of around where this question also comes from, is like a couple of men that I've expressed, like, hey, like, in such gentle ways, like, he'd be like, oh, I'm so hard. And I was confused. I was like, huh? Like, you're about halfway hard. And it was like such a tender conversation. And as soon as I mentioned, like, hey, you know, like, this is what I see going on, like, tears came to his eyes. And yet he had dated someone for a year and she never said anything to him. And then another one that struggled with PE, you know, he had dated someone for a long time. And then when I let him know, like, hey, like, you know, this, I can't even really move my body or you will come, that is premature ejaculation. He was like, oh, well, my ex said that it wasn't, and that she'd been with men that did have that, and this was different. And I was like, that's no, this is definitely what that is. And so I've been someone in men's lives to bring awareness to these things. And so I wonder, like, as women, like, how do women enable this? Like, why are women maybe not speaking to it? Why do they not care? I'm curious, yeah, on the other end, like, how women play a part.
Well, it's hard for her to care when she doesn't care enough to even look after herself in her own life. Because now she has to care about the other person enough to be willing to bring something up that could be very uncomfortable. And that could be received in a way where there is a lot of emotions and a lot of charge. So if the woman is respectful towards herself and has cultivated a level of love with herself and with her own experience, her way of bringing it up, sure, it may trigger, but there'll be so much love and compassion around it, even if she's in the experience of feeling her own frustration or her own agitation in the experience, her desire to be real from a place of love for her man and her partner, that will be the foundation that what she's communicating is motivated by. And I feel that's the most beautiful way for a man to receive a reflection. The more we sugarcoat stuff, the more we give everybody diabetes. So you ideally want to refrain from giving your man candy and then asking yourself why he keeps behaving like a child and I'm his mother. It's like, well, you're also enabling that because you don't trust his internal capacity to deal with reality. And the most helpful thing that a woman can bring to a man is honest, real reflection that is not completely sodomized by her own traumatic projections. So if she's able to express her reality also from a place of full ownership in herself, that is the most beautiful form of information that as men we can receive, because there's no malice in it. A lot of men have been attacked and shamed and laughed at and blamed for these sexual situations, which only perpetuate them more in his body. So bringing love, bringing compassion, but never, ever stepping away from authenticity and truth in that. Understanding that life is intense. Truth is intense, but it's also deeply healing. And for any woman listening, it's very important that you know if the man that you're with is here to be about truth or to be about bullshit.
Thank you for listening to some of today's episode. If you'd like to hear the full conversation, along with live Qigong classes, Q&A group sessions, and Tea with Chris, you can head over to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/Chris Bale. Thank you, as always, for your support, and we will see you back here on the next episode. Ciao.